Driving across the Columbia Basin, you may have noticed more wind turbines rising from the landscape, generating clean energy. But what happens when these turbines break down or get too old? Northwest Public Broadcasting's Courtney Flatt explains.
Even the thought of climbing 300 feet up the side of a giant wind turbine might give you a little bit of vertigo. But it's not such a big deal to Taylor Hayes and her instructor, Joe Gonzalez.
So I guess you guys aren't scared of heights then?
Not really, no.
It's more of a respect than scared.
And that's a good thing for Hayes. She's training at Walla Walla Community College in Southeast Washington to repair renewable energy equipment like wind turbines. Hayes grew up watching her father fix wind turbines.
This is my first wind application class, so I'm kind of excited because we haven't actually been able to work with actual wind turbine equipment.
As a potential second-generation wind technician, Hayes says she's ready to be part of an industry that's helping develop technology that will reduce fossil fuel dependence.
It makes me wonder, like, will I be a big part of this whole change? Will I help develop new technologies and all of that? And it's exciting to think about.
The students are huddled around a computer, a large workbook in hand. Various parts of a wind turbine hang from the wall in front of them. They punch commands into the computer.
Okay, click the run button from the turbine control panel.
The equipment rotates this way and that.
In this case, we're making things go wrong on purpose so that we can practice fixing them. All right, what's the next thing?
Down the road in Pasco, Washington, H&N Electric is in the business of fixing things that go wrong inside the turbines. Inside the company's shop, Mike Bird has a broken piece of equipment suspended on a hook. It's an essential part of the wind turbine generator called a slip ring.
These are one of the pieces of the generator that are designed that they wear out, and so we'll exchange them out for one that's in good shape.
Several of these heavy pieces of equipment sit next to his workstation. This particular piece he's working on is damaged beyond repair.
This one's junk now, so I'll put it in a recycling bin and it'll get recycled.
Nate Glessner is the plant manager in Pasco. He started work as a wind technician in the early 1990s. Now, he says, he's seeing more wind turbine generators break down before they're 5 years old. That's way earlier than their expected 20-year lifespan.
A lot of the manufacturers had to produce a huge volume of equipment to meet the demands of the market, and the wind market has grown very rapidly.
The U.S. Energy and Information Administration says wind power is set to outpace hydropower this year. Glessner says he's only seeing design issues getting worse. In the Northwest, some of the oldest wind farms were built in the early 2000s, not yet old enough to be upgraded to newer technology or shut down. That's when old wind turbine blades usually end up in the landfill, about 22,000 pounds each. Washington State University professor Carl England hopes to prevent that. He's helped develop a new recycling process for the fiberglass blades.
They're a difficult material to handle, and it's not a clear-cut path to, yeah, this is really easy, we can recycle this.
England is working with Global Fiberglass Solutions. They've built a blade recycling plant in West Texas. To recycle the blades, they break them down into quarter-inch pieces, or smaller. Eventually, those chunks are turned into plastic pellets or panels similar to particle board.
So this is the base board. Yeah, like the hardness of it.
Unlike wood, the fiberglass particle board is water-resistant.
And so that has some very unique attributes of being able to go where wood falls short, places where there's high humidity, water, where fungi and deterioration and swelling occur with wood.
Eventually, the company hopes to recycle other fiberglass products, like boats and airplanes. They're also planning to expand across the globe. Right now, they're in talks to build a plant in the Midwest, and one day, in China. I'm Courtney Flatt, reporting.